didn't finish last week, Joshua 8. If you want to open your Bibles, I will be referring back to it. So you may want to find that.
You want me to calm
this rabbit? No, it's all right. I was a bit apprehensive about my talk because it's very basic. And I thought, God, why am I doing this? But he wants me to do it, and some of what's been said today is part of what I'm talking about. So God knows what he's doing, even if I'm unsure. And I've changed the title slightly, Recovering from Defeat and Courage for Everyday People. So after roaming the wilderness for decades, God's people finally reached the promised land. But there were still obstacles that stood in their way. Securing the land God had promised them would require DFS. No, not really the furniture company. Andy. Oh, it's done it. It requires CFS, courage, faith, and strength. Last week, Gillian left us off with a bit of a cliffhanger.
AI,
yep. The Israelites were defeated at AI.
Yes.
They'd found sin in the camp. But as soon as you look at your Bibles, at Joshua 8, the title is The Fall of AI. No longer failure to conquer AI, but success. How does that happen? Making up lost ground is always difficult. If you watch a football team or a sports team, if they fall behind, it's hard work getting back. Students who procrastinate with their assignments, it's really hard getting back on top of it. If we spend too much money and get ourselves in debt, it's hard getting back on top. Catching up from these things is hard to do. And this is true for the Israelites too. And it's true for us as well. An admirable quality in our lives is trying again. We seek to live for God and depend on his power and strength, but we do fail. And when we fail, it's time to try again. Joshua teaches us the principle of regaining lost ground. When I worked for my first job, I was shocked because I didn't have a good interview and I knew I'd made mistakes. But the head spoke to me afterwards and he said, the reason that I've given you the job is because you're willing to learn.
Yeah,
making mistakes, if we learn through them, it means we can improve and grow. And that's what Joshua's learning here. When you make a mistake, is that how you feel? Hide away. Feel low and down. Joshua follows Israel's defeat against the walled city. Joshua 8 follows Israel's defeat against the AI. In Joshua 7, there was no significant loss in that battle, so only 36 people, but it made them vulnerable to their enemies. It also stirred up fear within the Israelites' hearts, and that they were going to be wiped out by their enemies. Joshua's failure disillusioned him. He thought of himself as courageous, but when it turned out, he'd been disobedient. The Lord confronted Joshua and the people about the sin in the camp. God will never bless sin. But having confessed and dealt with the sin as God desires, he will bring us to victory. We must not remain in the shadows of past defeats. Once they resolved the problem, judging Achan and his family for stealing from Jericho, Joshua needed to take new courage and move forward. This is the challenge. The spirit of defeat sometimes plays with our minds, allowing the guilt, despair, gloom, fear, and failures to take our minds from where they should be on God's word, God's promises, and God's truth. As we seek God, we will discover that God treats us well, even after our former disobedience and defeat, just as he did for Joshua. I've got four guidelines here to help us overcome failure and defeat. The first one, don't be afraid. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear or be discouraged. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. But Satan tries to whisper negative thoughts when God speaks to us like that. You failed again. You never get it right. How can God use you? Failure. These all make us feel bad about what's happened. It's right to own up to our mistakes. When we do, the Lord, according to his promises, removes the guilt. The Lord counters the devil, the evil one, by telling Joshua, do not fear or do not be discouraged. The spiritual principles of forgiveness and restoration lie behind a new start. Each time it's a new start. We need to learn the principles of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. If God forgives our sins, then our sins are cleansed. They're forgotten, forgiven, and gone. Thank you, Jesus. No longer to live in fear or failure. I was a coward, and I was shocked when I wrote that word down. I thought, oh, I don't like that. I'm a coward at times. I really don't like that word. It really challenged me. Admit. I have to admit that my loss came from my own sin and not because God turned on me. If we think that God will treat us differently because of past failures, even confessed and forgiven, we are mistaken. This is another lie that we are told. If we fear doing what God wants or lack moral courage, perhaps we're still caught in some defeat from the past. We somehow believe sometimes that we're second-rate Christians. Think again. I know a man who committed adultery, but later he confessed and repented of it, and now he's a faithful servant of God. We are too familiar with our failures and not sufficiently aware of how he brings us out of shame and misery and defeat for his glory. We must put our fears and doubts aside. God wants us to believe in the forgiveness that he's given us. But hopefully the truth of how the Lord led Joshua will convince us that we no longer need to live in fear of failure. We know the truth of forgiveness and freedom, and this brings liberation. Number two, listen to what God says. Once we know we don't have to make ourselves miserable for so many days about our confession of sin, we can go on as before, but hopefully much wiser. This is precisely what God asked Joshua and the people to do, but we must listen attentively. Sometimes the instructions might differ slightly or even differ greatly. But the point is the same. Pay attention to what God would have us do. Some might feel as if they need to compensate for their sin, and they try doubly hard and fail again. We need to be wise enough to go to God's word with a humble and open heart to see what he would have us do and listen carefully. I'm always amazed at the very specific instructions that God gives people in the Bible. And I sometimes think, perhaps I get Glenda, go and talk to this person, but don't listen for the rest of it. We need to make sure we listen to all the instructions, not just the key bit that we think is important. We need to listen to all of it. When we do this, we need faith. Real listening is accomplished not by convincing ourselves that we can do it, but by knowing that God can. What does God want? And Andy said this morning, obedience. What we have to do is just obey what he says to us. It's that simple. By faith, we become very aware that we can't do what he asks by ourselves. If he's asked us, he will empower us. We might not feel like it or even see how it could possibly work out, but it will. You might wonder whether this is to do with big ministries or your everyday Christian life. It has to do with both. Our Christian lives must run off the Spirit's power. Otherwise, our batteries will run out. We'll get exhausted. We can imitate only for so long. We desperately need his empowering and leading, or we'll be doing nothing for him. His work can be accomplished not through our flesh, but through the Spirit. We need to listen to the Lord with faith. I've got an example here, and it doesn't seem like it follows, but I'll explain afterwards. What if you bought something out of covetousness, like a new car, to keep up with your friends or your neighbours? It could be anything, but that was the example I came up with. And we've gone after other things and haven't paid attention to what God has asked us to do. We repent and confess our sins. Now, some people would say, you need to sell that thing immediately. My point is to be open to whatever the Lord wants you to do with it. Be open to his leading. If he wants you to sell it at a loss, sell it. But maybe he has other purposes for it. Listen with an open heart. He had other purposes for what happened the first time in Ai. Number 3. Do what God wants you to do. So Joshua rose with all the people of war to go up to Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 men, valiant warriors, and sent them out at night. He commanded them, saying, "See, you are going to ambush the city from behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and when they come out to meet us, as they did at first, we will flee before them. They will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city, for they will say, 'They are fleeing before us as they did the first time.'" Are we people that hear but don't follow through and do? Too many of us put off what needs to be done. And I'm good at that. If somebody asks me to do something that I don't like doing, or I'm frightened of doing because I don't think I can do it, I will do everything else that I've got to do and leave that right to the end until I have to do it. Obedience is always important. Other things can clutter our hearts and lives. No recovery from defeat can be complete without obedience. What he might ask seems impossible, but God calls us to live by faith. It's one thing to hear what we should do and a whole different matter to do it, especially with defeat in the background. God is again calling us to live by faith. Would we rather live in fear, doubt, despair, and defeat? God has a mission. We can't claim exemption because of the things from the past. These might make it impossible to do it in our own strength. But God wants to march forward, as in this battle. We will see ourselves strengthened by the Holy Spirit. However, we must obey. There's no exceptions. Joshua and the Israelites obeyed the Lord, and the city of Ai was taken. Joshua immediately responded and chose 30,000 men. He had the greatest plan and sent out the best with a great ambush plan. With the Lord's help, Joshua, the wise general, utilized Ai's pride. They were so confident of their former victory that they thought they could wipe out the Israelites as easily as before. After all, these were trained soldiers at Ai. The Israelites didn't know anything about warfare. The ambush worked fine. What appeared to be true wasn't. The Israelites' sin contributed to the enemy's fall. Pride and presumption. They couldn't see it clearly. Look at verse 7. They were total fools. They left the gate, city gate, wide open. At this point, Satan will come in and try and convince us that we can't do it. He will remind us of our failures. He'll even make us feel like we're hypocrites. We don't live up to what we believe. If these thoughts are familiar, they're just plan A with which Satan's help us come and bother us. We must refuse to go by our feelings and our fears, rather by his purpose. We are not hypocrites because we have failed. Our confession before God has testified that we want his purposes in our lives. We must focus on our will to obey and recognize the task and plead for help and just do it. When coming out of defeat, find someone who will pray with you and stand by your side. We need each other's prayers and encouragements. These relationships come out of spending time with other Christians. By staying alone, we put ourselves in danger. Let me say that again. If we isolate ourselves and don't share and don't meet up with other Christians, we are putting ourselves in danger. Number 4. Finish in a way that glorifies God. Now, I'm not talking about death here. I'm not talking about the end of life. This is Joshua 8:24. Now, when Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness, where they pursued them, and all of them were fallen by the edge of the sword until they were destroyed, then all Israel returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. All who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not withdraw his hand with which he stretched out the javelin until it had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Israel took only the cattle and the spoil of that city as plunder for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation until this day. He hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening, and at sunset Joshua gave command, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the gate and raised over it a great heap of stones that stands to this day. If we remember the first battle at Ai, the sin came at the end of the battle, not in the middle. After they fought the real war, they let down their guard. The clean-up is at least as necessary as the battle itself. Some of us can work well in emergency mode. We perform wonderfully if we're called to do so. If, however, we're called on to do the normal and the regular and the less spectacular, do we approach it the same way? We must not think that the heat of the battle is the most important. When the pressure is off, our decisions become a real temptation point. Elijah's depression after his big victory at Carmel. He beat the other gods. He did incredible things. Lots of future decisions will determine our ongoing faithfulness to God. Our everyday life is so important. Don't forget that we're apt to make our most foolish decisions after the battle, when our pride has taken the place of faith. Beware and remember how important our finish is. Don't give up. Don't cheat. Finish that project with your glory, with his glory, sorry. Make sure former sins don't creep in. We must be aware. We must beware when we think we are doing well. For we only stand when we persist in living by faith. So in conclusion, recovering from defeat is essential. Don't be afraid. Listen to what God has to say. He doesn't always do things the same way. And sometimes he does them the most bizarre things, speaking through a donkey, having an axe head raise up in the water. I can remember I was having problems with my eyes years ago. And I was really worried about it. And I went to this, I was in this prayer meeting, I can't remember very much about it, but there was a bowl of water. And God told me to go and wash my eyes in that bowl of water. I thought, that's bizarre. I can't do that, it's being used for something else. But I did it. And when I went for the appointment at the hospital, they told me there was nothing wrong with my eyes. We just need to listen to God and do what he tells us to do, even if it doesn't make any sense. Do what God wants you to do in every area of your life. I cannot believe how many Christians don't pray about decisions they make in their life, about buying a new house, about moving, about buying a car, about spending huge amounts of money on things, or even the everyday. Every day is a new day with God, and we should be talking to him about it. When I go out with the dog, I ask God who I should talk to or what I should see, if he wants to speak to me through where I'm walking. That's really important. It's not just the big things. Finish the tasks in a way that brings glory to God. It's all about him. It's all about bringing glory to him. And last of all, CFS. Courage, faith and strength in God every single day. So Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are with us every day and you've got plans for every day for us. Help us to be aware of those daily. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that directs us and helps us, and for your word. Father, help us to be obedient to the things that you're going to be talking to us about more. And help us just to trust you. Thank you, God.